And welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcast at comicbookdaily.com. We are the radio show that champions the local comic book store, and I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And for the next hour, we will be your surgical camera
through the colon of the world of comic books.
Oh, that is a beautiful picture.
Isn't that really a great picture in your head there? That's fantastic.
Chris, I love that intro. That song, of course, is from our buddies, Volume Water.
Yes.
Who wrote that tune for us.
That is the official Comic Book Culture radio theme song called Superhero Blues.
Superhero Blues.
That's right, yes.
Love it. Thanks, guys.
We should really play it more often.
We should.
Yeah,
and
I know.
We should. You know the guys. You should bug them to put some words to it.
You know what? Actually, we should bug them to come out of the show again is what we should do.
Good
you know,
job.
They're good Comic Book Daily subscribers. They go to the website all the time, and they're good friends of the store. You know, they're good friends of mine. We really should have them on again.
Excellent. All right, Chris. So we're going to go right busy show today. We're going to go right into New This Week. So I'll have you. I think we have a sponsor for New This Week.
We absolutely do have a sponsor. And in fact, this week's sponsor is New This Week is brought to you by the Iron Man Mark IV Party Armor. You'll be the life of the party when you show your friends that all deadly weaponry has been removed and replaced with the finest in music playing, shot dispensing, and hard drinking technology. The Iron Man Mark IV Party Armor, brought to you by Stark Tech. Please drink responsibly.
I love it, Chris. And that's available at all fine comic shops.
Absolutely, yes.
Right.
Yes. Good luck in ordering it. I hear they're sold out already.
Wow. All right, Chris, we're going to go right into New This Week. And maybe perhaps you can stall while I look for my notes.
Well, I could do that. You know, I'm sure there's lots out that's new this week that maybe our listeners could even
write. Okay, Chris, I found my notes.
Okay, that's good.
Chris, I want to talk about Fear Itself Sketchbook from Marvel coming out today. It's free.
Okay, right, yes.
It's going to be given out to all the comic fans that are coming into the local comic shops this week to wet their whistle.
Wet their whistle. Now, I'm sure...
To get them excited.
Yeah, and I'm sure this must have artwork by the guy that's doing it, Stuart Immonen.
Right.
Probably there's going to be sketches of characters and you know, guys like characters rather like Red Skull, things like the Red Skull's daughter or things like that, who are going to be
Strange,
involved.
Doctor Strange, yeah. Right, yeah,
you know, so you know, who knows what this can be about. And the fact that it's free, I mean, really, this is fantastic. Who wouldn't want stuff that's free?
Right. And you know what, you're going to get hold on here, I'm getting a mixed signal. But you're going to get the fanboys.
Oh, sorry. This is a news brief from our producer here.
You're going to get the fanboys that are really looking forward to this event.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it is Marvel's big event this year.
Yes, it really is.
And Marvel, like I said, wetting their whistle, Marvel is doing a good thing by putting out some free product a month or two before the actual stuff starts coming out.
Yeah, and this is going to be fantastic because you know what, Fear Itself, like you said, is going to be the big news for the year, and I'm looking forward to seeing this sort of preview type thing that's coming out.
Right. Now, also from Marvel.
Yes.
Emma. Number one.
Now, this is all about the White Queen, right? About X-Men.
This is Emma, Jane Austen.
Oh, that Emma.
Right. Pure literature.
Oh my. Well, I say. But perhaps we should refer to our British friends, who we can go and talk to a little bit about those fine, you know, English-type novels.
Right. And Emma is an adaptation, obviously, from the Jane Austen heroine, I guess.
Right.
Emma Woodhouse.
Yes.
And Emma follows Sense and Sensibility, Pride and Prejudice, which were successfully adapted into comic books.
Yes,
I remember
yes.
You and I last week talked about comic books successfully adapting other forms
that's right,
of entertainment.
That's right, we did.
And books and literature were one of them. And Jane Austen, Marvel's hit. Now, I know they did those offshoots of Pride and Prejudice with the, what is it, the monsters and the zombies.
Well, yeah, there's Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. and Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters.
Right.
Right.
Which is a totally different thing.
Sea Monsters, sorry.
Which is a totally different thing.
Yeah, but those are novels. This is a comic book.
The comic book adaptation of Sense and Sensibility.
Wouldn't it be great if it really was Emma from The White Queen, who was actually in the Pride and Prejudice comic book, and then it would be like, rather than trying to pit people, create relationships between people, she was actually trying to create, enemies and pit people against one another and like getting into people's minds and characters like, not necessarily Heathcliff, but those kind of characters from, Pride and Prejudice that, all of a sudden now they're like, dastardly duos and fiendish people.
Okay. Since I haven't read either Emma or Emma Frost, I can't comment.
Maybe you should read Emma. Read something.
I will. Okay. That'll be my homework for next week. I am going to read a comic book.
Well, good for you. Good for you. You do own a comic store, and you do have a radio show about comic books, so maybe you should read something about comic books.
Chris, Mad number 508.
I saw it. It's coming out.
Yeah. From DC Comics. Yep. Very, very exciting issue. It has Justin Bieber on the cover.
Right.
And now, up at our shop, there was an article about this that ran into Hamilton Spectator, local newspaper.
Okay.
And we've been getting, we've been getting phone calls saying, we'll be carrying the Justin Bieber comic.
It's Justin Bieber. Right. But it's also because, it's also a bit of a landmark issue because now it's also in color, too.
Yes.
Which is sort of, a big thing for Mad Magazine. And, that particular issue also deals with Mad Men, the TV series as well. And so, it continues.
Sarah Palin. They always goof on everybody month.
And that's what's great about Mad Magazine is, it continues to deliver really great satire, and it's really a fun read for kids. Even if they're, especially in their preteens or teens, and there's lots of great stuff
Better right now to goof on than Justin Bieber?
Absolutely, right. Yeah. There's a great cover where it has the lead character Alfred E. Newman looking like the Justin Bieber
with the haircut and stuff like that. Now, all I got to say, I am a fan of Justin Bieber because of these reasons. He's a Canadian local boy.
He is.
That did well.
And he's getting paid. Big bucks.
And, I don't think he takes himself too seriously.
No.
I think he realizes that he's a teen idol and this is kind of disposable pop culture type thing.
Which I think is fantastic.
And I don't understand, people come up, his music sucks. Well, his music isn't aimed at you anyway.
Yeah, and I'm sure all the kids think he's hot too, right?
Right, absolutely. And you know what? He's just a long line of Ricky Nelsons and your David Cassidy's and your Bay City Rollers.
They fill
a void in little girls when they listen to music.
Absolutely.
So.
And did you know that, just getting back to Mad Magazine for a second here, did you know that they actually take submissions online for story ideas and for artwork and stuff like that as well?
Really?
And any of our listeners are out there, thinking about submitting some sort of, story or perhaps artwork or something like that to Mad Magazine, they can actually do that, which is great. How forward thinking is that of a company to
do
that?
Not as forward thinking as a website that's called Lesbians That Look Like Justin Bieber. Now you see, that's progressive web content that's good. All right, Chris, listen, we've given this kid has got so much airtime all over the world. We're not going to give him any more.
That Justin Bieber kid.
He's a good kid.
Good kid there.
Hey, listen, Axe Cop.
What the heck are you talking
about? Axe Cop, Bad Guy Earth.
Axe Cop. Turn down Axe Cop. Right. What are you talking about?
It's a comic coming out from Image.
Okay, you know what? This just reeks of horrible, horrible Image writing. Even the title alone, Axe Cop, Bad Guy Earth. What does that mean? I don't even know what that is. How does that even make sense?
It's a cop that has an axe.
And he's a bad guy?
No. He takes care of the bad guy.
Is the Earth a bad guy?
No.
It says Bad Guy Earth.
But what happens is the real cops don't like the fact that he's...
And Earth doesn't like him.
No.
I don't understand this at all.
Well, you know why?
This is
probably
terrible.
Because what I like about it is apparently... This comic is written by a 6-year-old.
As clearly.
No, truly.
It really is.
And it was a web comic, and it's caught fire because I think the brother of the little kid is the person that draws it and stuff and guides the little kid. But he lets his little brother write the whole comic.
A title like this sounds terrible already.
No, you have to give it a chance. It's called Axe Cop, Bad Guy Earth, number one. It hits your local comic shops today.
You know
and
what?
I have a feeling, hold on, that the finer local comic shops will be carrying this book.
I think this was a picture book, and they just flipped to certain pictures, and they just decided to make those, you know, those words that happen to be on that picture book.
No.
Bad.
No.
Oh, cop.
No, bad. No,
oh, Earth.
Not.
Ah, there you go. We got a comic out of it. Yeah, that's great.
Give it a chance, I beseech everybody.
Beseech.
To go into your local.
You've just used a word much larger than the vocabulary in that comic that you just
right.
talked about. And
no,
you know, and because of that, half of our listeners will not pick up this comic book.
I didn't mean it in that context.
Beseech.
I meant it into.
And this coming from a guy whose English is his second language, everybody.
Listen, I beseech everyone to head into your local comic book store today. Or later this week, and peruse the new This Week shelf. And if you see something interesting, don't listen to Chris. Just because Chris says it sucks does not mean it sucks. Pick it up if it interests you, and enjoy.
You know what? I beseech that we stop talking about this and other Justin Bieber comic books and all that kind of stuff. Instead, let's get back to the good old days, and let's have a little bit of the old Challenge of the Super Friends.
Banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time, the Legion of Doom, dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat, the Super Friends. Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is the Challenge of the Super Friends.
Yes, and a great segue, Chris, as always, into industry news. And industry news this week is brought to you by Heavy Metal Magazine. We know that there is an invention called the internet. But
what
please,
the what?
Still buy our magazine.
Inter what?
Internet.
Oh, isn't that
apparently? It suggests like you know, heavy metal hasn't caught on.
Oh, right. Gotcha. Okay.
And yes, industry news, Chris. We have so much to talk about.
We have an awful lot. That's true.
It's a busy industry news week.
Yes, it really is.
Okay, I want to talk about something dear to your heart. Apparently, there's a new Thundercats cartoon.
Oh, yes, there is. Yes, absolutely.
So, I know you were an 80s kid that loved Thundercats.
Yeah, you know what? I was born in the 80s. You know, I remember going home from school.
You were born in the 70s, actually.
Born in the 70s. Right. You're right. Yeah. Sorry, Mom and Dad there. I was born in the 70s, but I was a child of the 80s. You know, I remember running home from the school to be able to watch Thundercats right after school every day. And, you know, it was a fantastic thing. I never had a chance to have any of the toys or anything like that, but a lot of my friends did, and I loved it. But you know what? They're now making a brand new Thundercats cartoon. And there's new Thundercats toys coming out as well. And the first,
but hold on, aren't there? What's the Masters of the? Hold on a minute, Masters of the Universe is not Thundercats.
It's not Thundercats.
Okay.
He-Man and all this.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. Let us talk about the '80s the cartoons and toys. But you know, the first new toys have been announced. There's going to be a Lion-O and a Tigra toys coming out. And there's a new trailer online. All you have to do is Google the new Thundercats trailer, and you'll be able to see it. And it looks kind of cool. I've mixed feelings of it. It looks a little bit different. Looks a little bit more, I don't know how to describe it, more anime-ish, whereas the old cartoon looked a little more North American, so it was sort of a
They're changing with the times.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed the old one, but it'd be interesting to see what they do for the new one.
Still have Thundercat boobs, though, right?
Well, I think so. It'd be hairy as usual, but yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough. Now, also dear to your heart, the new G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah.
They've announced that John Chu, I believe, getting directing.
That's right. So John Chu is the director of the new G.I. Joe 2 movie.
Now, the first one, though,
it did okay.
It wasn't like a Thunder Transformers. Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts
and lightning.
Thunder Farmers, yes.
Yeah. Transformers.
No, it was nothing like that. You know, it did just moderately well, which I think was why they decided to get a new director on the movie. However, you know, I don't know if I am all that impressed with the director they got. They got the guy that directed
John Chu.
John Chu. He directed Step Up 2, the dance movie, and then Step Up 3 in 3D, the dance movie. And if that wasn't quite dancey or kid-ish enough, he also directed the Justin Bieber Never Say Never movie as well. So you know what? I'm not too sure if this is going to be work out all that well for him.
All right. Well, you know what? I think he went the right way with the Bieber thing.
But you know, the problem that I have with this is that, you know, with this kind of a movie, all I can think of is now with G.I. Joe and like Step Up, now it's going to be like Snake Eyes versus Storm Shadow and sort of like Dance Off.
Nice.
You know, and what's going to, it's going to be like West Side Story with like, you know, the Cobras versus the G.I. Joes.
No, not West Side Story. It'd be like America, You Can Dance, where they go up against each other, and there's some sort of judge.
But does this mean that, you know, Justin Bieber type characters are going to be in it? Does this mean that Justin Bieber is going to be like Firefly or Duke?
First of all, we're not going to give Justin Bieber any more airtime.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
All right.
But, yeah, well, listen, G.I. Joe fans out there in Legion.
Yeah, well, there will, absolutely, yes.
And we know that there's going to be another G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah.
It's too big a property not to try to be redeveloped.
Right.
And we hope that this guy just kind of can say something and touch a nerve with G.I. Joe.
Let's
and
hope
make
so.
It as popular. Because if it tanks, G.I. Joe's a big enough property that they'll try to pick another director three years from now. But you kind of want them to hit with this so it develops into a really cool franchise. Right?
Right. Well, you know what they say. There's no business like Joe business.
Oh! Chris has a million of them.
Hey-oh! Be sure to tip your waitress, everybody.
Chris, Telltale Games. It's a gaming company, apparently. And
slow down, Einstein. You need to explain this to me a little. Telltale Games is a gaming company?
Yes.
All right.
And they've just announced that they're picking up, that they're developing The Walking Dead and The Fables. I don't know if you read this. The Fables and The Walking Dead video games.
Oh, right.
And they'll be kind of like a multi-year, multi-platform, multi-title episodic issues,
right,
where you go through one thing and then you
finish
for another,
it. Yeah,
and
yeah,
you pay
yeah.
for another.
Yeah.
And it's like sequences.
Telltale Games actually picked up the rights to, I don't think it's called The Adventures of Monkey Island or The Forbidden Tales of Monkey Island or something like that, from LucasArts back in the day. So they were able to kind of take over that franchise license. And now, of course, they're developing their own Walking Dead and Fables games, which I think they'll probably do okay at. But, you know, I think definitely these are franchises that are industries or whatever you want to call it that can develop their own games. Oh, sorry, that's being called The Secret of Monkey Island. Sorry.
Right. Now, I remember, again, you and I talked about this last week, and that was about how comic books
have transcended.
First of all, other industries have taken comic book properties and been successful with them.
For sure.
You and I explored, have comic books been able to, take things on? And I guess right now, though, we always talked about movies as kind of being the big. So for the last decades, movies have been sucking in comic book properties. And a little trend happening here is video games.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is becoming a huge industry on par, perhaps, with movies in terms of the entertainment dollar. And now you're starting to see a massive flow of comic book properties into video game property.
Yeah, for sure. There's all kinds of comic book properties that are going into video games and vice versa.
Right.
All kinds of video games that have gone into comic book properties. I mean,
right.
The list goes on and on for video games into comics. I mean, you've got Halo and Street Fighter and who knows what.
World of Warcraft.
I mean, the list goes on and on. And certainly the list goes the other way as well, as far as, you know, we've got the DC Universe Online multiplayer, massively role-playing game. I don't even know how the word is, but anyway, it's a big game right now. And of course, you've got all the Spider-Man games and Marvel games and all that kind of stuff going into video games as well.
Right. And I don't know. I guess the question would be here is, will gamers eventually flock to a graphic novel and try to read the source material, I guess, is the question maybe unanswerable.
Yeah, I think it's a natural fit between the two. I think that they probably would like to find out a little bit about them. I mean, the problem is with that is that they might play the video game and then they might end up going to the TV series after that. So they may end up skipping the graphic novels themselves. They may not actually go to the graphic novel because once they've played the game, once they've got the TV series, they might be kind of inundated with Walking Dead material as it is.
Right, right. Yeah. And you know what? It's the same customer base.
Yeah.
Like they're
yeah.
all, there's only I don't so much want to use can... the word nerds, but you know, they're the same customer base.
Are you
of,
mocking and, our
No, but if you're playing DC Universe multi-orgasmic game or whatever you call it, then you probably are familiar with the characters that you've read in a comic book.
Absolutely, yes,
or something.
For sure, for sure. Okay, right. we spent too much money, too much
unfortunately,
time
unfortunately, we got to pass on. Dwayne McDuffie has passed on.
Yes, unfortunately.
A young guy.
Yeah, you know what? And a young guy and very influential in the comic book field. Dwayne McDuffie did, in fact, pass away last week sometime. He was influential in creating the Milestone Universe, which, I mean, I realize it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But you know what? When he was part writer in the Milestone Universe, which was part of the DC imprint, he really helped to create a niche market for the African American content that wasn't existing at that time. Up until that point, we had characters like Luke Cage and Black Panther, but there was a lot of kind of stereotypical kind of characters around there, and he really tried to create a bunch of characters for comics that weren't as stereotypical as had been previously seen.
Right.
And, you know, he really... He helped create or re-envision characters like Deathlok. He did a lot of work on Justice League Unlimited, and he was also one of the writers on Damage Control for Marvel as well, which was sort of ahead of its time. It was sort of an offbeat kind of comic.
Yeah, it was like a comedy, a spoof
kind
type of thing.
Yeah, but a little bit about talking about what happens after the heroes and the villains battle. What happens after that? So it was forward thinking, out of the box thinking.
Right, and you know what? The good part about Damage Control is anybody listening to the show kind of interested in picking up Damage Control, available in fine quarter bins everywhere.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you know right. what? All joking aside, we are going to miss the passing of Dwayne McDuffie. We don't. We wish his family and everybody well.
Right, Chris. Every week, and this is a campaign you and I started weeks ago to get sent tickets to the Broadway Spider-Man musical.
You're talking
about, yeah. Right.
You know, it seems like not a week can go by without us talking about, you know, what's it called? Bring down the lights.
Burning down the house.
Whatever
Turn
it is.
Turn off the dark.
Turn off the
Turn
dark.
Off
That's
the dark.
What it is.
Right. And you know what? We're trying as best we can to plug it because it is comic books on Broadway.
It really
and
is.
And you and I promote comic books, and we want it to succeed on Broadway. So we really, really would appreciate hotel airfare and tickets
right.
We'll cover our own tab.
We have continued to plug this Broadway show for months now, week after week. I mean, I think we deserve something.
Well, artist Greg Horn, who we all know and love, great. I would say, from what I know of him, great cover artist.
He is a fantastic cover artist, and you know, we briefly talked about Emma Frost earlier with our little spoof on Emma earlier, and he was one of the early cover artists on Emma Frost, the comic book for a while.
Yes,
there.
Yes. And now he has been hired on to do illustrations, merchandise, programs, like drawing stuff for. I guess for sale or for literature distribution.
For anything like, you know.
To drum up some sort of interest in the show.
Yeah. There's now an art of Spider-Man. And you're going to be able to bring down, buy his art book. And there's going to be all kinds of like mugs and T-shirts and stuff like that from Greg Horn.
Right on. Now. Yeah, I guess the question is like, why didn't they hire him from the start? Right, like they should have kind of went with the whole comic book feel terms of the literature and the whole comic book feel in terms of everything. Right?
I completely agree with you, but you know what? From what it seems like with this production is that everything has sort of been Johnny Come Lately.
Right.
Like, they kind of think to themselves, oh, we really got to get an art book together. Oh, we really got to do this. Oh, you know, it's sort of like, you know, they're two steps ahead of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they just took an extra few months to really organize themselves and to figure out what's going on, I think, you know, they would probably do really, really well. And you know what's funny? What's really interesting about this production is that from everybody that we've sort of talked to or got emails from, we've found out that this is actually a really good production. I mean, we kind of, you know, we're sort of, you know, make light of this production, but you know what? From what we've heard, it's actually really, really good. And yet, with all of its sort of bad publicity going on, people are still flocking to see this thing.
Right. Now, Chris, speaking of emails coming in, I remember you and I last week talked about this, and you came up with some harebrained scheme on coming up with other musicals.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And one of our loyal listeners sent in an email saying, when we were suggesting, he sent in saying, you know, it would be great, an Inhumans musical, and the last number could be done by Black Bolt, and it would surely bring down the house.
Hey-o!
Which is a great line, and I'm figuring, why the hell didn't we write that?
I know, you know, we really should have. We really should have.
Well, needs better writing.
Well, thank you, Mr. Warren, for that. That's all I got to say about that one. That's
all right,
good.
Chris, McFarlane Toys will be producing Walking Dead figures.
Didn't we already talk about that?
No.
Oh, nope. You mentioned that earlier, didn't you? I thought you did.
No.
Oh,
no.
All right. I'm wrong. Okay.
McFarlane Toys will be producing Walking Dead figures for release in September and Wave 2 in November.
Speaking of things we talk about too much on this show, I think Walking Dead is one of them. And I think McFarlane should send us a set of Walking Dead figures.
Right.
In fact, I think we should be guest stars. We should be extras on the Walking Dead TV series.
Absolutely. I can see you as a zombie. having gone drinking with them and come home at 3 a.m. So, you know, this is it coming out in September, November. AMC is going to launch season 2 probably around October.
Right.
It's like the perfect storm for these guys.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have the pre-Christmas kind of make sure the stores get it by Christmas.
Because, you know, nothing says anything better than Christmas and you know, Santa Claus and the birth of Jesus Christ than zombie figures.
Good point. Right. Good point. Especially that, like, you know, the complete set.
Well, yeah,
right.
Of course.
Like, if you've been really good, you get all four.
Absolutely. Right. Complete with the dismembered arm and everything. Yeah. You can use it as part of your nativity scene.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
You
can add little things.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Or, you know what sells well at the shop are those Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer ones.
Right.
And, you know, we have, like, my kid has one of those Rudolph trains.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you put water in and steam comes out and you get Rudolph and
nice.
French Black Jacques Chirac there. and what you can have is you can have zombies attacking the train.
Perfect. I love it. Yes.
All right.
I love it. All right.
Okay, all right. So, McFarlane fans, look for the Walking Dead figures. I'm sure if you Google McFarlane Walking Dead toys, you'll read all about it. Hey, I wanted to talk today, Chris. I always follow old comics and auction sales and stuff like that. And I have a few record prices to pass along. And Archie Comics number 1.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From, I think, 1942.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
An 8.5 out of 10, which is a really nice grade, but not, you know.
Not perfect.
Perfect.
But, you know, yeah.
It fetched $167,000.
No way, really? That has to be a record of some sort.
Or on Heritage Auction. And it is a record for an Archie Comics number 1. And I think it is a record as well for a non-superhero comic.
Right, right. Now let me guess. What happens in that comic? Does he actually make a date with Betty or Veronica?
I think Archie Comics number 1 is the first meeting with Veronica.
Oh.
Right. Now, Archie first appeared in Pep number 22 a year before that.
Yeah, look at you.
But there was no Veronica.
There's a reason why you're an Overstreet advisor.
Right. And actually, Pep number 22 is worth even more than Archie number
1. Well, as it should be, for sure.
Because
it's
the first appearance of Archie Andrews, right? So, which is great. Great news for the industry. Great news for collecting. Anytime a big sale like that happens, it invigorates the whole market.
Absolutely.
Also, Hulk number 181. I'm going to test you and ask you, what's the significance of Hulk 181?
Well, you know, I realize I am a little bit younger than you, but really, I'm somewhat shocked and kind of insulted that you would think that I don't know what the influence of Hulk 181 would be. I'm going to say that Hulk 181 has the first issue of Gambit.
Oh, no, it's Wolverine.
Oh, how did I possibly guess that wrong? Of course it's the first Wolverine.
I know. There's only one 9.9 graded copy in existence.
Okay.
There's like 7,322 9.8s.
Right.
I exaggerate. There's probably 35 to 40 9.8s. And those 9.8s sell on market, and they continually go on market for about $15,000 to $18,000.
Thousand.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
For 9.8s. This 9.9, the only 9.9, the guy that owned it posted it on ComicLink at $150,000, and it now says sale pending.
Oh. So what does that mean?
So it looks like the guy made the offer for the $150,000, and it's been accepted.
Right.
So it's
right.
not confirmed yet, but it looks like the sale is going through.
You know,
$150,000 for a comic book is pretty common.
Well, yeah, and it's a comic book that came out in the 70s, right?
Yes.
Like, so it's not even a comic book that came out in the 30s, like
right.
Superman or something like that, and which is crazy because, I mean, you know, it's one of those comics where you're like, okay, $150,000. Do I buy a house or a condo?
Or a condo, right.
Or do I buy a comic book, right? Like, it's one of those things, right? But, you know, oh, look at that.
I got to go with comic
book. Our engineer is like, hey, here's Snicket, man. It's Wolverine all the way, buddy.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Because you know what? 10 years from now, that may buy you a penthouse.
It's true. It's very true, yes.
Okay, and finally, I have to talk about this one. Action Comics number one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
First appearance of Superman.
Yes.
A
point, whoa, what?
A 0.5.
Oh, you told me about this, yeah.
Right, a 0.5 graded copy. Now, guys, 0.5 is the absolutely lowest grade you can give a comic book.
Yeah.
Absolutely, like, if it's
it can't be a zero.
It can't be a zero.
No.
So I'm going to read the CGC company's notes on this book.
Okay.
So it says, restoration includes color touch, pieces added, seals, cleaned. 7th and 15th wrap are married, meaning from another book.
Oh.
Centerfold is a color copy.
Are you serious?
Incomplete. Pieces out 19th and 26th page. Affects story. Okay, so this is the dog of dogs. This is the worst possible comic book you could possibly own.
So hold on.
And I just want to share with you that it fetched $43,000.
Oh, my God. So part of it's not even the real comic
right.
book.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is absolutely incredible, the prices that these old comics are getting.
$43,000.
$43,000.
That is absolutely, yeah. I mean, is the middle page also drawn by the guy that came up with that Earth comic or something like that?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The six-year-old?
But, yeah, that's some incredible news on the old comic front.
Well, you know what? Speaking of old things, let's get back to the old Spider-Man cartoon. And here is the old, one of the old theme songs from that Spider-Man cartoon, from the old Krantz Amazing Spider-Man cartoon. This one's called The Leader.
That was Fat Freddie Flintstone singing you songs to twitch by. Scooby-Doo Wow.
Scoodly Wow Wow. The Golden Smog is back in town.
Yeah, Chris, that is like the swinginest tune we have ever had on the show.
Isn't that great?
Oh,
yeah, I thought that was good.
Get me a martini.
Absolutely.
All right, Chris.
That, you know what? That is a perfect segue into our next segment. You're looking stunned here for a second. Is that not,
we're
not on the same segment?
To Chris, that is we are still in industry news.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were in the next segment there.
No.
Sorry. Okay.
No, I know the power of the Scooby-Doo Wah.
You know, it had me all mesmerized for a while there. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, Chris, we're going to continue on to industry news because we had so much of it that you rightfully and smartly broke it up with the musical interlude.
Right. Sorry about that. I apologize.
Chris, I want to talk about this is a cool thing I read on the internet about these cartoon, these comic strip syndicates.
Oh, yeah, like King Features and United.
So
United
Feature Syndicate has given up basically all its they've basically sold out to Universal UClick. So Universal UClick is picking up all the United Feature Syndicates, leaving now just two players in that whole syndicate game.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
And leaving King Features
and
Universal UClick.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I mean, we're both fans of the Saturday morning papers, and I don't think people, like fans out there, and we're all fans, understand, I guess, maybe the mechanics of how these comic strips make the papers.
Right.
But I guess they go through these large channels and organizations that in the old days where there was papers everywhere.
For
and
sure.
Stuff, there used to be tons of, and everybody used to make money on them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way anybody would ever make any money doing a syndicated comic strip was to be syndicated, right? Like, you couldn't just be in one issue, one newspaper or something like that and plan on making money. You had to be in papers all over the world.
Right, basically. But you couldn't go out and, you know, go to the Tribune and go to the Times and go to the Post and stuff like that and try to sell them individually.
No.
The only way you can get in is to sign up through the syndicate.
Right. And it's extremely...
The syndicate. Yeah, the syndicate.
Yeah, and it's extremely difficult to get in. So those that do are doing well, but it's hard to get in.
Right. Now, United Feature has stuff like Mandrake. It has...
Really? They still publish that?
Yep. Yeah.
Wow, really?
And Doonesbury, Garfield.
They still publish that?
Yep.
Doonesbury?
Yeah, you know what?
With
we don't
Gary
it
Trudeau?
Up, yeah. It's very kind of political. Obviously, I guess Washington Post and New York Times.
Okay.
Love that
so
kind
you said
of
Garfield,
stuff,
right?
Non sequitur, which is a great.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah,
I love it a lot. For better and for worse, which I'm not a big fan of.
Well, it's still fun, yeah.
Right. Dilbert, which is great.
Dilbert, yeah, it's good.
So I guess these guys are all coming in under one umbrella. And I guess they're going online because comics.com, I guess, is a website you can go to, and I guess you can read the – I still can't figure out the business model. If you can go on to comics.com and read your Dilbert for free – right.
Well, the mechanics of it has changed, right? Like, I mean, years ago, newspapers were being sold, like back in the 1910s.
Right.
Like the 19-teens. I don't know how you say that. But basically, people were buying newspapers in order to be entertained by the newspaper strip. So, like, you know, Yellow Kid and Dick Tracy and stuff like that were selling newspapers. That was the form of entertainment back then. Radio was almost non-existent, and television had certainly not come around yet. So really, people were getting their entertainment through comic strips.
Right.
But now, I mean, you can get a comic strip online. You can get it almost anywhere, right? So it's hard to – I don't quite understand how people can even make money doing that through newspapers anymore. I don't – but
they obviously have lost their power to say, hey, you want my strip because it'll sell papers,
yeah,
right? Whereas in the old days, you can do that.
Right.
Now you can't.
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, you know, now books are being published of just the comic strips, and it's hard to sell. I would think it's almost like a bygone technology, like pagers or something like that, right? Like it's hard to describe.
Now, a personal note I'll add to this is my oldest kid. He's 11. He's going to turn 12 soon.
Yeah.
I go out and buy the Saturday paper.
Yeah.
Specifically. Because he enjoys reading the funnies.
Right, which is, I think is absolutely fantastic.
Right.
You know, and I've often said that anytime you can get any child under the age of 12 or under 15, I know it's not a child anymore, but anytime you can get anybody reading anything in that age range, it's fantastic because it's so hard to get people to read anything these days.
But, yeah, I guess though what I was aiming at more too is he seems to like that, you know, I'm going to relax on the couch Saturday morning, you know, in between cartoons, I guess, or something like that. Pick up that Saturday paper. Pick up that actual physical Saturday Funnies paper. And so for my $2 that the Spectator costs every Saturday, they get my $2.
For sure.
Based on the Saturday Funnies.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that is there have been a number of people, friends of mine, that have sent me websites over the years of comic strips that occur on a regular basis. Maybe we don't get it in the Hamilton Spectator, like you know, but that, you know, like for example, there's one called Red Meat that I actually enjoy, but I get it in book form when it comes out. But I find it very difficult to read these things online because I don't think about going to it every day, and I don't go to it when I'm reading the newspaper, you know, because it's not in the newspaper.
Right.
So these types of cartoons and comic strips, I find it difficult to believe that they're still going.
Right, and so do I. But, Chris, we're going to move on. Powers. I know you're a fan of Powers.
Yes. Michael Avon Oeming.
Right.
And Brian Michael Bendis. Yep.
Yes. They've got a pilot green light from FX, the TV studio.
Oh, fantastic.
So they're going to shoot, I guess, a pilot episode of Powers.
Yeah, which I think this is great because, you know what, FX is sort of that offshoot network. It's not really a huge network. It's sort of a smaller network in the United States. Most people in Canada can't get it here. Occasionally, you'll get the odd show that's been picked up by another network here that you can get from the FX network. But I think it's fantastic that this comic book is being made into a TV series.
Right.
Or possibly. I mean, it's only in its preliminary stages being filmed for the pilot only.
Right. Now, I think I've read a few Powers in my day, and it's basically policing the super.
Yeah,
heroes,
so
right?
Sort of like, you know, here's a society where almost, you know, there's all kinds of people now that have superpowers, and here's a couple of detectives that don't have superpowers, and they're actually going around and sleuthing. You know, instances and homicides and things like that that occur in the superhero community.
Right, right. Well, you know what? I'm looking forward to another successful comic book to TV transfer. That's
yes,
what I got.
I'm sure it'll happen.
All right, Chris, I found this story interesting. I'm going to read it to you. The comic The Montgomery Story.
The Montgomery Story?
Yeah.
Is that about C. Montgomery Burns from Simpsons?
No.
Oh.
Neither is it about General Montgomery Monty from World War II.
Oh.
It is about...
that's too bad. It should be
about
that.
The Montgomery boycotts. The Rosa Parks
1950s
civil rights thing. You know, Neville Brothers. Remember Thank You, Sister Rose?
Rosa Parks would be on the bus and everything.
So,
yeah.
The Congressman John Lewis from the United States claims on MSNBC that this Montgomery Story graphic novel that was translated into Farsi and Arabic 2 years ago.
Okay.
He went on MSNBC and he said that he thinks that it has been a factor in inspiring the Egyptian protests that brought down Hosni Mubarak.
Wow.
Now, you say wow, and okay, but I say how flippin' insulated is America in the world to think that their flipping comic books will have any kind of influence on these poor people in Egypt trying to, you know, die for change in their own country.
I completely agree with you, yeah.
Here's a senator or a congressman going on TV saying that some sort of, you know, Alabama protest graphic novel inspired the uprising to Hosni.
The world revolves around the United States.
Exactly my point. Yeah. And it's just it's frustrating to read stuff like this.
Sure.
I mean, it would be great if comic books can be the tool for social change.
Yeah, I would find it hard to believe that this particular graphic novel would inspire an entire country, whether it be Tunisia or Egypt or Libya or whoever, to go ahead and start an uprising against their dictatorship.
Right. Right. Absolutely right. It's just it's stunning. And you know what, Chris? In an unrelated story, Ziggy has inspired a rebellion in Moldova.
Well, you know, as Ziggy should, because Ziggy really, you know, is a strong character from one of those syndicates that's probably being ousted.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Chris, you're a fan of Doctor Who.
What? Oh,
Doctor
right. Yeah,
Who.
I am. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Apparently, there. Don't laugh.
Okay, I won't.
At the way I say this. Apparently, though, Chris, there is a MMORPG.
Yes, there is. There
announced,
is.
Yes. No idea what that is. It's some sort of video game, apparently.
Massively multiplayer online role-playing game.
Right.
That's what
I knew what that was, but I didn't know exactly what that was.
Yeah, so there is a new Doctor Who MMORPG coming out for computers.
Wow!
Yeah.
No.
And so you can now it's only flash based. It's not a big big game. It's not like you can go out and spend all kinds of money on it or anything like that. But you know, now you get to play a Doctor Who role playing game, basically.
Okay. So the holders of the Doctor Who probably the BBC, right?
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So here's the BBC going. They're licensing it for comic books.
Yeah.
They're licensing it for role playing computer games. They've got the TV series is going. So what they're doing is they're marketing their product in the widest possible spectrum, including gaming.
Yes, they are.
Including comics.
Yep.
Well,
you know what? It's funny. Doctor
Who. Has there ever been a movie, like a theatrical movie to Doctor Who?
Well, years ago, yes, there was. I mean, nothing
like a
recent.
Big budget 2000
yeah.
on high special
nothing,
effects
not
type
2000
movie
on, no.
That will be coming?
I'm talking about they had ones which were like nothing. Nothing of recent note. I mean, we had Day of the Daleks, which was years ago, which with like, geez, what's his name now?
Jill Gerard.
No. I can't remember his name now. Not Christopher Lee. No, Day of the Daleks is not with Christopher Lee.
Christopher Walken.
It's with Peter, the guy who played Governor Tarkin from Star Wars. I can't remember his name now.
Cushing.
Peter Cushing. He was in Day of the Daleks. And so, I mean, there's all kinds of movies that have been around years ago with Doctor Who, but nothing recently, nothing of any kind of massive budget. But BBC has realized that this is a franchise, this is an industry that they can really cash in on. And, you know, when they first announced that they were going to start making more Doctor Who TV series, the Canadian government, the CBC, was the first people to pick it up without a single episode being produced, acted, characterized, anything like that. They were
right.
The first people to even say, we want some. Because, you know what, they realized that this was a big budget thing, and there's lots of people, lots of fans out there. And there still is, and I think it's going to be a great thing. And then for whatever reason, CBC dropped it. I don't know why, but it's still going in BBC. But
boo on CBC. Yeah. All right, Chris, we're going to end industry news there, and I think you have some music for us.
I do have some music, and it's a little out of the ordinary here. I thought we'd play a little bit of the old White Zombie with Meet the Creeper.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, that was Don't Fear the Creeper by the Moody Blues. Excellent. Excellent song.
I'm pretty sure that was not the Moody Blues, but, you know, whatever. It's all good.
All right, Chris. We're getting to the last part of the show.
Wait, hold on. Can I talk about my announcement? Can I announce the next segment that you rudely interrupted me last time for?
Okay. So, like I was going to say, we're getting to the last part of the show, and Chris, I believe there is a sponsor.
You know, you were not going to say that at all. You know, you got to put me on the spot like that. You know what? The next section of the comic culture is brought to you by Wizard World Toronto, the premier comic book convention coming up March 18th to the 20th. Check out more on www.wizardworld.com.
Now,
Chris, I hope we get paid for that.
No, you know what? You and I are the whole Comic Book Daily and Comic Culture crew will be at that show at Wizard World.
Yes, we are going to have a booth there for Comic Book Daily and for Comic Culture. In fact, we'll be signing autographs for those that, you know, want it for whatever reason, on at least the Saturday and Sunday. I'm not too sure about Friday yet,
right,
but definitely Saturday.
And I believe we have plans to do a live show on the Saturday.
Yeah, and so, you know, if anybody wants to stop by the live show on Saturday or Sunday, we can certainly, hopefully you can listen in and see what the show is all about.
You can heckle in the background.
It'd be great, yeah.
And we will be promoting CFMU-FM as well while we're there.
Of course we will. Of course, there are wonderful broadcasters.
All right, Chris, this brings us to the segment of the show. Oh, I like this monthly feature we do with the previews.
Yeah, this is
catalog.
Great. This is great. You know what?
Previews is the catalog that you'll find at your local comic book shop where you can peruse, you can look through, and you can order stuff that will be coming in within 2 months.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Right. And you know what? It always has some sort of obscure or weird type material or toys and things like that. And generally, we, you know, as well as all the usual type of stuff, as, you know, Spider-Man and Batman and that
Spider-Man.
Kind of stuff, we like to always take a look at the back pages where it has sort of the weirder stuff. And, you know, we like to just highlight a few of the odd individual type items.
Yes, we do.
And
Chris, what's your pick this week?
My pick of this week is the Karen the Nurse Booty Babe resin statue. And
why doesn't that surprise me?
let me just let me
what page is that on for the
Tom
discerning
for the discerning buyer,
yes,
customer? It's on page 385, and let me just tell you a little bit of the write-up here that says here. It says, this long sold-out resin and very popular original Booty Babe character has been brought back in vinyl as a series of limited edition vinyl Booty Babes. Soft, rooted hair, soft goods soft goods top. Karen the Nurse, designed by Spencer Davis, wants to check your temperature and make sure you're not too overheated.
Oh,
you
know, my goodness.
I really, you know, I don't really know what to say about that. That's something else. And you know,
Chris,
what?
Like, when you're done with it, can I borrow it? Hold on, I changed my mind. I don't want to borrow it when you're done with it.
Yeah, you really do want to borrow it.
My God.
You.
All right. We're going to ask, I think, James, our engineer.
Yeah, you know, we have our engineer here. He's going to give us his pick for the previews as well here. He's flipping the pages, looking frantically for his choice. I think he wanted the flux capacitor. He's still waiting.
This is live radio.
Live radio. That is best here.
There we go.
Okay.
The pages were stuck on Chris's. what was that called?
The Booty Babe.
Booty Babe, yeah. And he couldn't pry them apart. Just wash your hands after.
It's disgusting. I'm going with the flux capacitor replica from Back to the Future Part 2. Now all I need is a DeLorean.
You need is the DeLorean. You know the DeLoreans were actually made with stainless steel car parts kind of thing. So, and that was one of the things about the DeLorean. There's very few of them that were actually made, but they were stainless steel, so they were meant to last for forever, right? So it was one of those things where, hey, you know, if you ever bought a DeLorean, they would actually last for a long, long time.
All right. Hey, Chris, I really like, on page 405 of the
Previews magazine,
March 2011 Previews magazine, you're going to find the Star Wars silicone trays, Han Solo in carbonite and R2-D2. You can make them into like popsicles.
Oh, cool.
And chocolate.
Oh, very good. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
They are like, can you imagine a kid's birthday party, Chris? Can you imagine a kid's birthday party?
Okay, hold on. James has something to say here. Oh,
no, he's fine.
Oh, sorry.
James is doing his job.
Oh, sorry.
Chris, thank you.
I thought James had something to say. He was waving his hand in the air.
We really have to have meetings before
we really
start
should.
Taping.
Sorry.
All right. Hey, no, could you imagine a kid's birthday party? You get there, and you got, like, a icicle frozen, and it's in the shape of, like, R2-D2.
I could make all kinds of jokes about being able to suck on R2 all day long. But, you know, I'm really going to just stop at that.
Yeah. Chris is, of course, ordering the Leia tray.
But, you know, as we've always said, there's all kinds of great stuff to find in the back issues of Previews magazine all the time here. And let me just, say here, hold on. I'm being told here that this is all the time we have for today.
Wow, Chris, good work. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link and add your comments on the comment field at the bottom.
And remember, next week we are broadcasting our annual CFMU fundraising show. We have lots of celebrities lined up, though I'm told by our producer that I'm not allowed to actually name names quite yet. What's up with that?
Yeah, I guess for legal reasons of some sort.
We can't say anything.
I think that might be in the famous people's rider.
Oh, probably.
That we
don't announce their thing.
Okay. And I think we have to have Jube Jubes and M&Ms or something ready for them.
I think that's part of the rider, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, support your local comic book shop. Go out and enjoy, and we'll see everyone next week.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day.